Why did Frederick III risk his realm of Saxony to protect Martin Luther and the developing reforms of the church? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is Frederick the Wise, Seen and Unseen Lives of Martin Luther's Protector. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Frederick the Wise by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Frederick the Wise. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Sometimes we're doing This Week in Pop American Christianity is the, well, kind of the mainstream of what you're going to find in any big box church. And I think you'll find an affinity for this kind of stuff in almost any big box church. But we're going to be talking about something that needs a lot of definition, a lot of context, the context of Messianic Judaism. We'll get into that. And then a term, Shemitah, which stands for an alleged seven-year cycle that God operates the world on. And if you don't observe it, well, God doesn't bless you. This is something that evangelicals are actually eating up. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Chris Rosebro joins us. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
The big context is Messianic Judaism. What is it, and why does Pop American Evangelicalism have such an affinity for Messianic Judaism?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. You have to remember that within evangelicalism, there's a pretty large portion of evangelicalism that buys into dispensationalism, and as a result of it, you know, there's this belief that that in the very end of the end ages, that there's supposed to be a radical outpouring of God's Spirit and a big revival among those who are genetically related to Abraham. And that's how they would read, you know, passages like in Romans 11 and other places. And so, and this plays into their eschatological view pertaining to the fact that in the end age, you know, God's going to invisibly and secretively rapture the church, and then, you know, messianic Jews are going to play some kind of a critical role, a post earth without the church present. So there's a lot of weird stuff going on there. But the more importantly is that with the rise of the Hebrew Roots movement, Messianic Judaism has kind of come to the front and center. And the basic assumption is that somebody who's a Messianic Jew better understands, you know, the Hebrew context of the Old Testament than, say, Professor Hans Schmidt from Iowa. And so as a result of it, people are kind of hanging on to and looking deeply into the Hebrew roots of Christianity with kind of this expectation that it's going to tell us more of the truth about how to understand the Bible than what we've been getting from European biblical scholarship for the past, you know, 600,000-700,000 years. Yeah.
Oh, so the combination of dispensationalism, which still maintains that ethnic Israel is in fact still God's chosen people, Christians just kind of get to ride along, as a plan B, and this Hebrew Roots movement make this stuff popular. What in the world is Shemitah?
Okay, the word is Shemitah, and it basically comes from Deuteronomy chapter 15. I'll read this to you. And it says, at the end of every 7 years, so this is the Lord speaking through Moses to the children of Israel in the wilderness prior to them going into the promised land, it says, at the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release, a Shemitah is what the Hebrew word there is, and this is the manner of the Shemitah. Every creditor shall release what he has lent to his neighbor. He shall not exact it of his neighbor, his brother, because the Lord's Shemitah has been proclaimed. Of a foreigner you may exact it, but whatever of yours is with your brother, your hand shall release. But there will be no poor among you, for the Lord will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance to possess. So the basic idea is that in the Old Testament Mosaic covenant, there were every 7 days there was a Sabbath, and every 7 years there was a Shemitah. And then there was a cycle of that where there was a big grand jubilee. And the idea behind the Shemitah is if anybody owes you any money on the Shemitah year, you had to basically forgive the debt. It was a releasing of debts. It was a freeing of slaves. It was an important year in the Mosaic Covenant on their calendar. And so that's historically where this comes from.
So what are we going to hear first here, Chris?
Well, we're going to hear Rabbi Jonathan Kahn explaining to us what the Shemitah is all about, because he's written a book that is a New York Times bestseller called The Mystery of the Shemitah. And this is him being interviewed on a popular Christian television program explaining to the hosts what the Shemitah is.
What is the Shemitah?
Every seventh day, we know it's a Sabbath day. Mm-hmm. But every 7 years was a Sabbath year. A lot of people don't realize that. Mm-hmm. It was called the Shemitah. So God said on the seventh year, no work, no plowing, no sowing, no reaping, no nothing. The land is going to rest. Total. I mean, a year of rest, no buying or selling of the fruits of the land. And on the last days is at the end of the seventh year. This is in the Torah. It was called Elul 29. Something extraordinary happens. Everybody cancels out every debt. All debts are wiped out. All credits wiped out. The financial realm is cleansed totally. Now, this would be a blessing. Most people think this is a blessing, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the thing is that the Shemitah, when Israel turned away from God, they broke the Shemitah. They stopped doing it. Mm-hmm. And they pursued idols and gain. And so what happened is the Shemitah comes back at them now as a sign of judgment on a nation that has once known God, but now turned away from Him.
So instead of a blessing, it becomes a curse.
Yeah. And that comes all to a head in the days of the prophet Jeremiah, when finally the judgment comes, Babylon comes in, wipes away Jerusalem, that takes the people captive to Babylon for 70 years. And then the Bible says, why 70 years? And God says, and it's right there in the mystery of the Shemitah, says that because the land will now rest for the years, all the Shemitahs or Sabbaths, it did not rest. Wow. So the judgment is determined by the timing of the Shemitah. So that means the Shemitah not only affects, I mean, in modern terms, if it was still here, would affect the economic realm, the financial realm, but even the rise of nations and the fall of nations. So this is God's timing. I mean, you see this in prophecy, the tribulation period, 7 year period, 77s, you know, it's always this thing. So this becomes this key. And the amazing thing is that this mystery, truly, it has been affecting our lives from the moment we were born. Wow. It has been affecting the rise and fall of the economy, Wall Street, giving the exact dates when it crashes, and has been affecting even the rise of America, what may be the fall of America, end time prophecy. Mm. It's just gigantic, mind-blowing.
Kind of made a leap there. It was so quick, you could easily miss it. He's talking about the Old Testament. He's talking about the people of God in the Old Testament who are bound by these things. And then the exile and the 70 years of letting the land rest. That's all good stuff. Very interesting. And now we're in the 21st century America in Wall Street.
Yeah, in fact, there's a huge chasm between the biblical concept and the United States of America, and apparently he jumped it even better than Evel Knievel could have. But the issue here is a question of who is responsible biblically to keep the Shemitah. Are we as Christians under the new covenant required by God to keep the Shemitah year? Is the United States of America as a nation required to observe the Shemitah? Those are things that we need to delve deeper into. But he just made the leap from what the Bible says to the United States in the 21st century, without even blinking. It was almost a magic trick how he did it.
Well, I mean, just as a matter of to clarify this for about a minute before we take our break, this is done all the time in dispensational circles. We get straight to the United States in the 21st century with no intervening explanations necessary.
Right. It's as if it's just assumed. Everybody just knows this is the case because, America is that city on a hill. You know, that's what Ronald Reagan said. America is a Christian nation, and this is God's country. And so, obviously, anything that's talking, in the Old Testament is talking about the children of Israel, somehow in their mind just immediately equates with talking to the United States in the 21st century. But that's like not only not biblical, it ignores what Scripture really says.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's this week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about a teaching of an alleged 7-year cycle that God imposes on the world and the United States called Shemitah. Chris is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith.
This is Pastor Donald Jordan welcoming you to Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church in Chico, California. We stand upon the inspired, inerrant Word of God and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Students at Chico State and Butte College are welcome to our college group. Our divine service is at 10 and Sunday school at 9. We are located at 750 Moss Avenue, and our website is RedeemerChico.org.
We're going to take a look at the ecclesiastical model employed by much of American evangelicalism today, especially as put forward by the seeker-driven movement.
Chris Roseborough talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
We're going to take a look at where this idea of a vision-casting leader comes from, what its main tenets are, and we're going to compare that so-called ecclesiastical office to the biblical office of pastor, to see if the two are actually synonymous and interchangeable, or if this concept of a vision-casting leader actually turns a pastor into a false prophet.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case against vision-casting leaders in the church June 19th and 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us and encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is a biography of Martin Luther's political protector, and in time he was an ally, a theological ally of Luther's in the 16th century Reformation, Frederick the Wise. There is a reason why after his death that name gets attached to him, the Wise. The book's called Frederick the Wise, Seen and Unseen, Lives of Martin Luther's Protector. You can find it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House. It's a great biography. I recommend you read it. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Frederick the Wise. We're talking about a teaching of God's seven-year cycle, Shemitah, that is very popular in Pop American Christianity. This week in Pop American Christianity, Chris Roseborough is our guest. What are we going to hear next on this subject, Chris?
Well, he's going to now explain how supposedly the mystery of the Shemitah, which Jonathan Kahn in his book basically describes it as somehow being woven into the very fabric of the creation, that this is not just the Shemitah is not just a cycle that describes what the children of Israel were supposed to do in the theocracy of Old Covenant Israel, but somehow he thinks that God has woven this into the rhythms of creation itself, so much so that it somehow has an impact on our financial markets today. This is what he's going to talk about.
Let's go back and look at some of the previous Shemitahs and just take us down, so kind of jog your memory as to what he's talking about.
Yeah, for instance, if you look at the economic realm or the financial realm, in the last, since 1973, 40 years, there have been five major downturn collapses of Wall Street, long term. One is in 1973, one is 1980, one is 87, one is 2000, one is 2007, when it begins. Notice that every single one of them are linked to the others by a cycle of 7 years,
amazing.
Number one.
Is that amazing?
Do any of them happen on, not just 7 years, but on the actual biblical appointed time of the Shemitah? Every single one takes place on the timing that God gave. Now, if you look at the greatest collapses in modern times, you look at the top 10 or 11, the majority of them take place at the Shemitah. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. The number three greatest is 1937, 1938. 1937, 38 was the Shemitah. Number two was the Great Recession. We just went through it. Mm-hmm. It began 2007, 2008. That was the Shemitah was 2007, 2008. The Great Depression, key year was 30 and 31 of the greatest collapse. That's the Shemitah. Mm-hmm. When the Shemitah begins in 1937, the next day Wall Street collapses.
Wow.
In the Great Depression, when it reaches its peak day, the wipeout day, the next month becomes the greatest collapse in American history.
Wow.
And so that's the first part. That's all there.
Okay, he's doing something again, very clever here. There is a method to his madness, but what is he actually doing here?
Well, what he's basically doing is taking Shemitah years and superimposing them over the different crashes that have taken place in the United States financial markets, and says, see, Shemitah years, therefore that means that God's trying to tell us that the mystery of the Shemitah is in play. And so, because God's trying to get a message across to the United States of America, I'm the one who's cracked the code and figured out what the connections are between these, different financial crashes. Therefore, I've written a book, and God's trying to send a message to the United States of America, and you need to be paying attention, and something bad could potentially happen, because right now, as we speak, we are in a Shemitah year, which will come to its conclusion in the month of September of this year. So, that means, God's trying to talk, but you're not paying attention, so you better pay attention.
Two things I noticed. First of all, he doesn't correlate if you listen to him, it sounds like it's been nothing but economic downturn in the United States for its entire history. He doesn't attempt to correlate any Shemitah years with a good economy. Why is that?
Yeah, because apparently he's only equating it with downturns in the economy because he believes that God is basically in a cycle of judgment with the United States of America since the United States legalized abortion. And make no mistake about it, I mean, abortion is murder, and clearly the United States of America is going to have to explain to God, why it's systematically murdered, 60, 70 million of its unborn children. But aside from the obvious sinfulness of Roe v. Wade and the abortion issue, the question has to come up, if God is trying to communicate with us regarding the Shemitah, then we have to ask the theological questions that must be put into play here. How come, when he talks about the Shemitah as some kind of a mystery that involves nations, the rise and fall of nations, how come nowhere in Scripture does the Shemitah have anything to do with the rise and fall of nations? It has to do with, financial release. And how come the command to keep the Shemitah year was only given to Israel? And if God is judging the United States in Shemitah cycles, then the question obviously comes in, when did the United States become a signatory on the Mosaic Covenant, which makes it responsible to keep the Shemitah years and therefore, culpable when it comes to, the curses of the Mosaic Covenant for not keeping the Mosaic Covenant? I mean, there's obvious questions that have got to be answered here, but of course, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I think, is the thing that really needs to be taken a look at, because 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 7, makes it clear that the Mosaic Covenant has been done away with. Here's what it says. Now, if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3 makes it clear that the stipulations and the rules and regulations of the Mosaic Covenant, especially pertaining to the civil and ceremonial laws of the Mosaic Covenant, that's all come to an end. The Mosaic Covenant is defunct. It's not in play anymore. And for someone to make the claim that the United States is being judged for not observing the Shemitah, that just ignores the clear fact of Scripture that the Mosaic Covenant has been abrogated. And it's been exceeded by the New Covenant and the ministry of righteousness by grace through faith. So, I mean, there's all kinds of just really obvious questions that have to be answered. And unfortunately, Jonathan Cahn has yet to give a satisfactory answer to these theological questions. Instead, he continues to go out, and I would say fearmonger, because now you got a bunch of people who think that the United States is going to be judged because it's not keeping the Shemitah, and that it, in this coming, you know, fall, we're supposed to experience a global economic collapse. You know, that's what they're actually declaring is going to be, you know, taking place because we're not paying attention to the Shemitah.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity, live this Friday, April the 24th, talking about one of the more odd little corners of Pop American Christianity. Jonathan Cahn and his Shemitah teaching, God's 7-year cycle, by which he is apparently preparing to judge the U.S. I wonder, how would Jonathan Cahn have the U.S. keep the Shemitah? We'll answer that question right after this.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries, right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Long for a church that celebrates the divine service with reverence and joy, but without the unbiblical baggage imposed by a supposedly infallible hierarchy? Do you long for a church that confesses a divinely instituted office of the holy ministry for the giving of the Lord's gifts to his people and yet values and lifts high the priesthood of all believers? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find an historic, authentic church near you on the Find a Church page at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity with Chris Roseborough. We're talking about Jonathan Cahn's teaching of the Shemitah, a 7-year cycle. God is apparently judging the U.S. according to this cycle, and we are awaiting, apparently, some sort of global economic collapse because the U.S. hasn't been keeping the seven-year cycle. Chris Rosebro is our guest. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. He's also going to be one of the speakers at our Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. He's going to be making the case against vision-casting leaders in the church. I cannot think of anybody better qualified to do that. Some other topics at the conference include postmodernism, the early church fathers' creation, the historicity of Christianity, biblical archaeology, and the differences between men and women. The conference is Friday, June the 19th and Saturday, June the 20th in Collinsville, Illinois, about 15 miles east of St. Louis. For more information on the conference or to register, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or contact Craig, 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, or email him, craig@issuesetc.org. It's the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June the 19th and the 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Chris, before we go on to the next cut, we're going to hear, how exactly does Jonathan Kahn propose that the U.S. start keeping this seven-year cycle, the Shemitah?
Well, and see, that's the thing, is that he doesn't exactly propose a way to keep the Shemitah per se. Instead, he believes that what needs to happen is that the United States needs to return to God. But again, the issue here is that, you know, if he's going to make a claim that, you know, that the United States of America is biblically being judged according to the cycle of the Shemitah, then we have to conclude that the United States hasn't kept the Shemitah, and biblically the only way that we can keep the Shemitah as a nation would be if every 7 years we, like, literally canceled everybody's credit cards. You know, every 7 years, mortgages would be wiped clean. All of the farm land would lie, you know, unplanted that year. You couldn't work, and then poor people could get, you know, just grab whatever they wanted to that grew on farms and stuff like that. That's really the only way you could keep the Shemitah if you're going to keep it biblically. But see, the thing is that Jonathan is kind of, is playing fast and loose here. He's identified a true biblical thing historically that existed in the Mosaic Covenant, but has basically implied that this is somehow woven into the fabric of the universe and that somehow the United States is being judged according to these cycles, but the solutions he offers are not really according to what would be needed if you were going to obey the law of the Shemitah from the Old Covenant. And so it's just this general idea that the United States needs to return to God is how he thinks that we can somehow snap this, you know, the seven-year cycle where God wipes out, you know, judges our economic institutions, that, you know, and that's what he's proposing.
He's not the only one who's kind of caught on to this idea, mixing it with others. What are we going to hear next from John Hagee, I believe?
Yeah, John Hagee, the author of The Four Blood Moons, has also signed on to this Shemitah thing, and literally a couple weeks ago, on his internet channel, you know, for his subscribers, issued a warning of coming global economic collapse because of the Shemitah, but he doesn't pronounce it correctly. He calls it Shemitah, but it's the same thing.
Do I think the Four Blood Moons is a messenger of a coming storm? Absolutely. History repeats itself. And also in this September, the Shemitah year is ending. Something on September the 11th, 2001, which was the Shemitah year, was the two Twin Towers of New York being attacked by terrorists. The second Shemitah year, 2007, the stock market crashed 777 points. 2015 is a Shemitah year. September the 28th is the fourth blood moon in the Shemitah year. I believe in the fall of this year, America and the world will face another economic crisis, perhaps as a result of war in the Middle East or an economic crash. But there are very sophisticated people on Wall Street saying we are facing a 50% correction in the stock market in the near future. Get ready. Americans should get prepared.
So what's the trick that John Hagee's pulling here?
Well, basically, you know, it's he's bought into the Shemitah. He's, you know, and he's, you know, working with the blood moons and all this kind of stuff. But this is not biblical teaching. We a couple weeks ago we talked about the four blood moons and show that they signify nothing. And this idea of the Shemitah, somehow the United States is being judged and now there's going to be a global economic collapse because this is a Shemitah year. I mean, this isn't biblical teaching, and this is instead fear mongering, and fear mongering of the type that, I mean, that could cause, you know, people to financially panic. You know, and that could actually have serious repercussions in the economy. I mean, this is just absolutely irresponsible, biblically inexcusable kind of messaging on the part of the people putting this out there. And unfortunately, you know, there's a market for books that kind of put eschatological or biblical fear into people's hearts. And I think a good way to think of, like, the four blood moons and the mystery of the Shemitah is that they are kind of the equivalent of our generation's version of the late great planet Earth, where, you know, people have got, you know, this obsession with these things, but at the end of the day, it pans out to be nothing. I mean, you know, Hal Lindsey's book, The Late Great Planet Earth, I mean, you could buy it for 10 cents, you know, in a used paperback bin nowadays, and all of the predictions of, you know, of Christ's imminent return before the end of the 20th century didn't pan out. I mean, this is just irresponsible.
Chris, Fighting for the Faith is on deck at Pirate Christian Radio right now. What can listeners expect after the program?
We got a T.D. Jakes update today. We got a Joel Osteen. We'll be doing some listener email and then listening to a lecture talking about whether or not ongoing prophetic gifts are something that was supposed to be ongoing, or if God's Word leads us to expect that they were supposed to run their course and kind of come to a conclusion at the end of the apostolic era.
You can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. in just about 5 minutes at piratechristianradio.com, piratechristianradio.com. Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
Monday on Issues Etc., we'll look forward to Sunday morning talking with Dr. Carl Fikencher about Jesus, the true vine, and we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Paul and Timothy. Jesus does warn us to watch the signs of the times. He does, and the signs are all around us, but they're not found in this esoteric exploration of ancient and now defunct Jewish ceremonial calendar laws. Those were given by God for the good of his people, to set them aside, to sanctify them, to point them forward to a Sabbath rest in Jesus Christ, to take the church and rest its attention away from Jesus Christ and him crucified, and set them back upon these laws in such a way that they don't point forward to Christ, but point forward to economic collapse and gloom and doom, is to misdirect the church away from the object of its faith. You see, these laws were there for a good reason. Insofar as they lasted, they were there to prefigure Christ in his saving work, for the salvation of the world, to point forward to the sacrifice he would make for the sins of the world on the cross, and the rest that he would bring not just for a year or a day, but for all eternity. This is why Scripture will refer to Christ as our Sabbath rest. And to take these laws that were intended to point to Christ and have them point to the economy? Well, that's such an obvious misreading of Scripture. Anyone should be able to see through that one, right? I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Is St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.
Hollywood's attitude toward Christianity, the Bible's influence on the U.S. Constitution, the decline of biblical preaching, the connection between biblical illiteracy and Western morality. You'll find these essays and more in the new book, The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, The Place of the Holy Scriptures in the Faith and Life of Confessional Lutherans. Check it out at shop.logia.org. The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, shop.logia.org.